Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin in a moment and get an update on the Japanese nuclear disaster that appears to be much worse than Japanese officials are admitting. Ellen Vanko, the Nuclear Energy and Climate Change Project Manager at the Union of Concerned Scientists, joined us. Then we'll look into unrest in Syria, sparked by government brutality that could mirror the evolution of other recent revolutions in the Middle East and lead to regime change, ending one of the most entrenched and ossified regimes in the Middle East. James Galvin, a specialist on Syria, joins us. Then we'll talk with the writer and director of Miral, a movie that brings a new perspective to an old and politically contentious story. Rula Jibril and Julian Schnabel join us to talk about their brave new film based on Jibril's autobiographical novel that tells her story of growing up as an Israeli-Palestinian in a divided land where there is little agreement on anything, including history. Let me now turn to the situation in Japan. Joining us is Ellen Vanko, Nuclear Energy and Climate Change Project Manager for the Union of Concerned Scientists. Previously, she was Director of Communications and Government Affairs for the North American Electric Reliability Council and also directed policy analysis for Allegheny Energy and the Edison Electric Institute. Thank you for joining us on Background Briefing, Ellen Vanko.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And clearly, one would think, and I've spoken to a number of specialists, including Victor Galinsky and others who have a background, including the designer of the boiling water Mark I reactor, Dale Bridenbaugh, who quit GA back in the 1970s. Would you agree that this accident was avoidable in as much as had the power failure been prevented by bunkering the emergency generators with a proper berm to defend against this kind of wave action from tsunamis, which there's a history of in that area? Do you think this could have been avoided?
That is absolutely unclear to me at this point. You had a record-making earthquake followed by a large tsunami and then the failure of the pumps. There's any number of things that could have failed that might have led to this. So I think until the full examination is done of this situation, which of course will take several years, I wouldn't want to predict exactly how it and whether it could have been prevented.
Well, people survive because they move to the second floor of buildings with two floors. That the question is why wasn't the backup generators, you know, either protected by a berm and above a reasonable expectation of a high watermark for a tsunami?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm sure the designer of the plant could tell you better why that is, but I think it's also important to point out that the spent fuel pools were also elevated several feet above the, or several stories above the ground level, and that they're still experiencing problems. So yes, there should have been protections in place to keep the fuel supply for the pumps from running out, but again, given the severity of the damage, it's not sure that every single one of these incidents could have been prevented. There's no one who can say that, for example, the berms wouldn't have been breached due to the earthquake.
Sure. Well, the problem with this, Ellen Vanko, is that the Japanese authorities are not being particularly forthcoming. There seems to be a divide between the government itself, and Japan's never had a very strong chief executive. They tend to, the ruling party tends to be led by token frontmen with the powerful players in the back rooms. And the TEPCO, the Tokyo Power Company, keeps reversing what they're saying all the time. Does anybody have a good handle on this information? And do we know exactly what's going on?
Well, at this point in time, it is unclear to us. When I say us, I mean people at the Union of Concerned Scientists, who are, of course, getting information from TEPCO and the Japanese government and other people on the ground in Japan, similar to many other folks who are trying to figure out what's going on. It's not clear to us that TEPCO or the government of Japan actually have all the information they need to respond to this crisis, never mind tell the rest of the world exactly what is going on.
But we know, for example, from the two workers that were exposed to high levels of radiation, thousands times more than the threshold, that's at unit number 3, which indicates that kind of amount of radiation, most people think, is due to a breached core. Do we know how many of these reactors have the cores have been breached?
I don't know that we know anything for sure, as I've said. Obviously, the one thing we do know is they do not have adequate worker safety protections in place. That's the first thing that the exposure of the two workers tells me. I do want to draw your attention to something that the Union of Concerned Scientists just posted on its blog on this topic. And what it is a picture of the control room that they're claiming to have restored power to in Fukushima Unit number 2. And if you look at the control room, there's clearly lights, but all of gauges, there's lights that illuminate the control room, but all of the gauges and lights and computer screens that would be needed to monitor the condition of the plant and its equipment are completely blank. They are non-functional. What this picture tells us is that there is no telemetry at the site other than what might be being carried around by the workers in the plant. But the actual control room that not only somebody monitoring a working nuclear plant but also a malfunctioning nuclear plant would need to have to know what's going on, those screens are blank, those lights are off, the gauges are flat. So that leads us to question whether they have any meaningful information whatsoever about their own plant. And if that's the case, then that would certainly help to explain why we're not getting much better information outside of it.
So nobody really knows about how much water has been contaminated. There are stories of hundreds of tons of water that have been, because there's been a lot of seawater poured, and we know that's very corrosive to metal. The U.S. is barging in a bunch of fresh water, which they're hoping to have pumped to cool these cores. It'll take years, perhaps, to cool them. We don't know the full extent of the contamination. Apparently, they've backtracked that it was millions of times above the threshold, and now they're backing away from that. But we don't know how much contaminated water is and what they're going to do with it and where that water is.
No, I mean, it's difficult to make sense of any of the data being reported from the various parties regarding dose rates, contamination levels within the plant, outside of the plant, miles away. There doesn't seem to be any consistent reporting framework so that the public, whether they're experts or not, can assess what kind of radiation is being released from the plant, whether it's in the air or in the water for that matter.
Well, I take it the U.S. has a drone over there, but is there any understanding of, are we entirely relying on the Japanese, or is there another way, since they seem to either be confused or covering up things? Where are we going to find out? This is a global problem, surely, given the potential for the contamination spreading around the world.
Well, it's clearly a global problem in the long run, but I think in the immediate frame, we're dealing with a crisis on the ground in Japan, and they need to get a handle on what they want to do to protect their public, both immediately, within the immediate vicinity beyond the 12-mile radius they've already evacuated, and also what the impacts are going to be on the rest of Japan. Of course, everybody else needs to be concerned about the release of radiation and where it could ultimately end up. But right now, the most immediate crisis and emergency is around the reactors and to the people of Japan. I don't want to minimize the potential for further contamination and transportation of these radioactive materials beyond Japan, but right now those are the people who are in the greatest danger and have to be helped right now.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Ellen Vanko.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Ellen Vanko, Nuclear Energy and Climate Change Project Manager for the Union of Concerned Scientists. We'll take a brief break and we'll be back talking about whether the Syrian regime is falling apart.